Heavenly Father, we praise you, O God, for you're worthy of all of our praises. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, you've given it as a gift to us to worship and celebrate you. Lord, to glorify you in the midst of the congregation, to testify of your goodness, to receive from you the divine word that we may serve you this rest of this week and the rest of our lives. Lord, whatever is needful today, Lord, we're open for you to impute in us the things that we need in this assembly, this gathering this morning. Lord, we open up our hearts to you. Help us, Lord, to worship you. Lord, prepare us for the word. For each one that is traveling today of the body of Christ here, each one that's on holidays that's away, we just pray wherever they are, or in hospital, or whatever their situation is. God, we pray, Lord, bless them today. And may we sing together, both with the church victorious, the church triumphant, and the church that's still in battle here on the earth. We praise together the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy, holy. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. Father, I pray that this morning, right now, at the beginning of this service, we would just be able to lay down all the cares and fears or anxieties in our hearts and let you be king, let you be ruler. Father, that we would embrace your peace in this place today and not just leave it here in this place, but take it out from here when we go. Thank you for your goodness.
so I guess, like, all teenagers, all people, we all had anxiety growing up. In school, I always held myself up to really high standards, and I felt like I could never reach them by myself, and it always weighed me down, and I would always get on myself for the littlest things, even when they were insignificant in the grand scheme. So when we moved here last year in September, August, we weren't going to church, so we were Christians before, but we never did devotions. We only really prayed at dinner time, and we didn't go to church in the past. So in November of last year, I started going to a youth group in a Pentecostal church in Morrisburg, and I realized that I kind of had to step it up. Like, how could I call myself a Christian when I don't do anything for God? I realized that I should pray, and I need to read the Bible in order to grow, because I was just stuck in one place and I didn't know where to go. So I started praying and doing devotions, and I went to a Bible study, and that really helped me. It helped me realize that I didn't have to bear it all alone.
Yes.
And that I could trust God to always be there for me. And have a relationship with Him like I can't have with anybody else.
Yes.
And I just thank Him so much.
Yes. Just go ahead and praise the child. Just give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. You stop. Give Him praise to the Lord. Stop. Yeah, Lord. Worship Him. Lead us in praise. Just go ahead. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Lead the older ones. Just go ahead and say praise God. Just let that happen.
I'm so thankful, my Lord. Thank you for always being there for us and being a good Father. I thank you for not letting us bear it alone and dying for us. And that we can always trust you, and that you love us no matter what. Even if we fall away, you'll always have us come back to you, because we need you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done in our lives and everything that you will do in our lives. And I'm thankful that I'm yours.
Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, God's moving, God's using you. God's Holy Spirit, amen. Isn't that what it's about? Letting the Holy Spirit lead us. That's why I asked Sarah. I knew the Spirit of God was on her to give a message that would touch others today. And others are being touched by that message. It's not about always just what we say. It's about the timing, about letting the Lord's Spirit lead the church. And that's a good thing, amen? God's Spirit. Look to the Word of God today. We're going to be looking a little bit at review this morning from last Lord's Day's message on the pioneer spirit. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to read Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, which says this, "Thus saith the Lord." Oh, I always get a kick out of reading that. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, the old paths. Where is the good way is, and walk ye in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, that's a good thing. Next thing isn't so good. And they said, we will not walk in it. Again, Lord, give us clarity of thy word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Continuing on in Canada's 150th, we're going to do a little history here as we look back and as we look to present, as we look forward. But coming up, let's look to the next slide. In 1891, the founding fathers of this land, Sir John A. Macdonald, he decided, well, he's going to have to run again. And in the 1891 election campaign, it didn't look so good. There was a young guy from Quebec, Wilfrid Laurier, that was running for the Liberal Party, and he had all of the momentum, it would seem. And so Sir John A., he was in a bit of a pickle to win this next election. He had actually been defeated a couple elections before, had come back and became the prime minister again, and he was trying to hold on to his prime ministership and keep his party in power. He was the prime minister, for all of you that hopefully went to school and learned this, I still hope they still do some Canadian history in school, was our first prime minister. And so 150 years ago, he was the prime minister that brought us into Confederation. In 1885, the year that this church was built, 1885, he finished the railway. So not only did he bring forward the Confederation of colonies of the British North America, but also he linked us with a railway. And so he had many accomplishments. So in the 1891, they needed a slogan. Wilfrid Laurier became Sir Wilfrid Laurier. You know him as the what dollar bill? $5 bill? Let's hope you put more McDonald's on the plate than Wilfrid Laurier. His slogan in the 1891 was, we need change. We need a new road and a new leader. And so the McDonald group, the conservatives, came out with this, the old flag, the old policy, the old leader. And you can see here, the prime minister lifted up on a farmer and a cheese man, a cheese maker, and the rural strength of the Conservative Party. And we're holding up the old flag. We're holding up the old policy. We're holding up the old leader. Well, he managed to make a slim majority in March of 1891. But he campaigned so hard. He stopped at every stop. He used that railway, of course, to his advantage and did the every little town that the railway went through and got out the end of the caboose and did the old pitch. We're talking in January and February of 1891, so that in March 5th, he won a slim majority. But the campaign was too hard on him. And if you know your history, 3 months after he won his majority, he died. And so it was just so hard bringing this message of the three olds. I don't think this message would go very far today. We're in an idea of new. Anything that is old is obsolete. Anything that is old is redundant. Anything that is old is passé. It's not in. We want new, we want change, we want something fancy and shiny. And so I think that even today the message of old would be one that would not win many votes today. Well, it wasn't a very popular message in Jeremiah's day either. Jeremiah the prophet came to Israel, that is to say, actually Judah, and more specifically to Jerusalem. He came to the people of God and he began to preach a message of the old way, turning back to the old ways. And they didn't like it. The priests, the prophets, the people, and the princes. There's a four-point sermon. Anyway, they all turned their back on the old way, and the message and the cry was, we want a new way. And so when he called them to repent and turn back in chapter 6 and verse 16, he said, "Stand by the old way and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it." And he didn't just give it as a commandment for just to believe, but he said, "And walk in it." And he didn't just leave it there. He said, "I'm going to give you a promise that if you do this, you'll find rest for your soul." What was their response? Their response was, they said, "And we will not walk in it." They made a conscious decision to reject the old road, to reject the old message. Before I look into the pilgrim pathway, I want to review what it is to have a pilgrim spirit from last Sunday, because so many were away last Sunday. The pilgrim spirit in review is to have a pilgrim spirit. That kind of spirit that began this nation, that kind of spirit which began the church movement in this nation so many years ago, is one who has a spirit of adventure. It's exciting to be a pilgrim. It's exciting to come from one country and come here and found a new nation and escape perhaps even persecution or poverty from some other place and come here. But it also means endurance. And as it is with the Christian life as well, when you get here, you find you got to clear out a piece of land, and you find out that the winters are a lot worse than they were in the highlands of Scotland, or in the green shores of Ireland, or wherever it may be, or of Russia, or wherever, or Europe, or France. And you find out there's great hardship here, so a pioneer has to be ready to endure, just like a Christian needs to. And the pioneer means faith. Of course, the first thing they did was they established their church. And if we are to have the survival mentality today in this age, we need to have a pioneer spirit. Be ready for adventure. The Christian life is an adventurous life. But the Christian life is oftentimes of endurance. And the Christian life, of course, is built solidly on faith. But what is the pioneer path as I get to this next part of the message? The pioneer path. The first thing is the true spirit of the pioneer, and the pioneer path always leads to the house of God, always leads to community. The road, the pathway, the old pathway, the pathway of the pioneer leads to the church, leads to the fellowship of the faith, leads to the community of the King. Now, some would think that being a pioneer would be an isolationist attitude. You know, you're so strong and stubborn, you come to a new country, and you start to clear that country, and you become a pioneer. You think that you're often isolated. But the fact is that those isolated people, they long to be in community. And the church became such an important part of the community. That was the center of life. That's where you gathered and you met people. That's where you had fellowship. That's where, you know, after long, hard weeks of work and labor on your own, you would gather together and fellowship. It is with the Spirit of God today. Those that have the pioneer spirit, those that have the overcoming spirit today, are those who have not abandoned the church of Jesus Christ. But the true Spirit of God will always lead us into fellowship. The true Spirit of God will always lead us into accountability and to submit to authority. It is a rebellious spirit that keeps people away from the house of God. It is a rebellious spirit that makes people say, "I don't want to be told how to live. I don't want to be told by an old preacher. I don't want to be accountable for how I live my life." That is rebellion. That is not the spirit of the pioneer that comes together and says, "I want to know what's true, even if the truth hurts." When you have a pioneer spirit, you value every ounce of community that you can experience. Far from the pioneer spirit of self-sacrifice, we live today as individuals. Instead of being pioneers, instead of being the church being the center, instead of the church being so important, instead of the church being so vital, instead of being pilgrims and pioneers, we become customers and clients. We're not committed, we're customers. So long as I get a load of what I like, you know, like the buffet meal at the Mandarin restaurant. As long as there's something there that I like, I'll keep coming back. But if you don't serve what I'm asking for, I'm going down the road. Or stay at home. That's a client mentality. The idea of coming together in fellowship is to sacrifice the flesh. Our pioneers, when they made it to church through the bush, it was a sacrifice. Now we just want to feed the flesh. When you feed the flesh, it weakens the soul. The pioneer spirit will always find a way to the tabernacle of the Lord to meet together with the saints of God. In 2017, where we are, we mark 150 years of nationhood, being a self-governing nation. But did you know that 2017 also marks 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation? Where people rejected religion and the rule of Rome to return to the lordship of Jesus Christ, who is the true head of the church. These reformers had a pioneer spirit as well. But instead of forging new roads and clearing a new way through untouched forests, as it were, of theology, what they needed to do was the road, the good road, the old road had grown up. And what they had to do was go back and clear the old road. It had grown up with trees and stumps, and religion had grown up in the road and had muddled the way, and so they had to go and they had to cut through the forest and make that road clear again. Go back to the original. Go back and find their way back to the apostles. Some weren't all that successful. In our view, looking at 2017, we look back at the Reformation. We say, well, man, some of these guys didn't really make a good way, you know. But what they were trying to do was find that road again that led back to the apostolic church. I remember one time I was in the bush. You've heard my stories before, but, you know, I was going through the bush. I had Josiah. Josiah was I don't know how he was, 12 years old or something like that. And I was going through the bush and had gotten away out a bit, and I had been following an old logging trail. And probably my grandfather or my great-grandfather even had cut down the trees, and you could just see a slight impression of the wagon or the wagon wheels in as you're going through the bush. But of course, trees about, you know, yay big had grown up in the middle of it. So you just had to, at the right angle, you could just see, and I knew where those old logging trails went, and so I began to follow that old logging trail and just try to see that impression that was there. And then as the sun got down, I kept going and I realized that I had gotten off of that trail and was following just a shadow. It wasn't really a trail at all. It was so hard to make it out. And I began to get a panic because I had a young lad and I just thought, oh, it's going to be terrible when they send out people looking for me. You know, I was worried about my pride being hurt more than anything else. And then finally I found a point of reference on a hill and was able to reestablish my journey. Yes, the old pathway oftentimes has been grown up. Religion has grown up and has hidden the old pathway. And so the reformers, what they had to do was cut it down, get back to it, find that road again. Find their way back to the Bible. Find their way back to the old ways. The pioneer path leads to the kingdom. That's the next point. Prime Minister John A. Macdonald said this, our first Prime Minister 150 years ago. He said, I am a Canadian now by nation, but I will forever be a British subject. That may be controversial today. He said that in the campaign of 1891. What our fathers meant by this was that whatever locally, their cree or their plea was for king and country, meaning that they were loyal to Canada. That was their nation, but there was also a loyalty beyond. They were loyal to the crown. They were loyal to king and to country. That was their plea. And as Christians, as a pioneer spirit, wherever we may be found, whether it is China or the Ukraine or wherever we may be, or Canada, or United States, or wherever it is, you need to have loyalty. There needs to be a sense of patriotism. There needs to be a sense of that we need to be good neighbors and good citizens of the place that God has put us in. But at the same time, there's a crown that we serve. The pilgrim pathway always leads to the king. Loyalty to the king, that is to say loyalty to Jesus Christ. Because he is the king and he has come to establish his kingdom. John the Baptist before Jesus or leading the way to Jesus, he preached, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus showed up on the scene and began to preach, what was it that he preached? I have that text there. In Matthew chapter 4, in the early days of Jesus' preaching, he said, and Jesus went throughout all of Galilee teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction amongst the people. This is very early in his ministry. And so not only was he preaching the kingdom, but the kingdom was happening. It's not just a theology, it's action. The kingdom was taking place. Friends, I believe that in this church, in this Sunday morning, not only are we talking about the kingdom, not only are we believing in Jesus, not only are we singing the right songs and reading the scriptures, but the kingdom is taking place here. That stuff is happening inside of us that is causing us to yield over to the king. Oh, it's for king and country. It's for whatever I'm going through in my own nation, in my own community, in my own situation, but it's I have loyalty to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is impacting, He is coming in, He is manifesting Himself in this nation, in this county, in this church this morning. And someday it will be in its absolute fullness. Jesus spoke many parables about the kingdom of God. People were caught up in their nation. The Pharisees, the religious people, they were caught up in the now. They were caught up in the stuff that they were doing. They were caught up in who was better than who and who was more religious than who and who was this more than who and whatever else. They were caught up in all of, and then there was that group that, you know, you've got them to. Oh, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. That's sometimes me. You know, the government, the Roman government, the taxes, the oppression, all that kind of stuff. You know, Jesus comes into that situation and he preaches the kingdom. In other words, whatever the Romans do, or whatever the religious leaders do, or whatever happens in the nation, it's about the kingdom. In fact, one of his final things he said regarding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his second coming, when he comes, and he will come, amen. He will come to establish his kingdom in fullness. Matthew chapter 24, he says this. He says this first. This is we don't like to hear. Everyone who endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. He's not talking only about a message of theology. Is not talking only about some kind of cognitive belief. He is not talking about some kind of ritualistic thing where we dress a certain way and those other fellows don't dress the way that we do, or some kind of institution. He is talking about a kingdom that is a message that is life transforming, that those that are part of the kingdom have a different allegiance than those that are part of the world, and different things happen to them. Friends, we worry about our government, and so do I, and as a good citizen, as a leader of a community, I have to be concerned about what our government does. I have to take action. I wrote my MPP the other week. He got back to me. I didn't like what he had to say. I'm getting back to him again. I was talking to our MP this week, last week. You know, I'm involved. I believe it's my responsibility as a pastor to be involved in our nation and to know what's going on and to put my two cents and say, you know, the church says this. I believe every pastor should have a relationship with their local member of parliament, their mayor, and their MPP. I believe so. But the point of the matter is that if we were where you live in communist China, it doesn't matter. The kingdom of God is in democracy, it is in communism, it is anywhere. The kingdom can expand. People can get healed and blessed and saved and touched in communist China as much as, in fact, let's be honest now, it can happen more there. This gospel of the kingdom, he says, that's the old path. You see, the new path of Jerusalem was they were getting all their political ideas and they had all kinds of ideas. And he said, no, we got to get back to the kingdom message. This path that we all want to be on will someday lead us to experience the kingdom in its fullness. And the prophecy of Isaiah is this. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3 says this. It says, then many people, this is talking about the end times, this is talking about the day of the Lord. It says, and many people shall come, and they will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord shall go out of Jerusalem. You see, today people are saying, no, we don't want to walk in the old ways. Much of the church is saying, we don't want to walk in the old ways. But there will be a day coming when Jesus Christ shall return and He shall set up His kingdom upon the earth. Everybody will want to walk in the path then. The question to you today is, why don't you walk in it now? The old path seems like a new road sometimes. It's so old, it's new. I delight in hearing testimonies of young people and you know what God's doing in their lives is so new, but it's so old. You understand me? You know, when you sing some songs here, I've sometimes sing some old gospel songs and people say, oh, is that a wonderful new song? Oh, no, it's not. It's been around a long time. It's just new to you. We have a road. Get your Google app maps out. You can actually do that in our own church because of our Wi-Fi in the church. You know, in North Lanark Highlands, there's a road off the Calabogie Road between Lanark and Calabogie and the 511. It's called the New Road. Right near where my father has property. And anyways, the New Road. You'll see a sign there, the New Road. And the new road was built by my ancestors many years ago on their way to, needed to find a new way to get to church in Tatlock. And so they built a new road. Now, if you take that new road, you'll find that you better have a 4x4. You better be able to be prepared for a swamp crossing the road. You better be prepared for a tree down after any kind of wind because it's not serviced by the township, this new road. But there's a sign that says the new road. The new road was made probably back in the 1850s. But to them at the time, they called it the new road. And it's kind of ironic because it's probably the oldest road in North Lanark Highlands, in that part of the Highlands, in Darling Township. It's called the new road, but when you go on it first time, it's a new road to you, but it's the old road. Sometimes it seems like the new road is the old road, but friends, it's the road that leads to the kingdom. It's the road that leads to truth. It's the road that leads to being prepared for the coming of the Lord. The churches need to get people ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's quit having our entertainment sessions and let's get ready for Jesus. And getting ready for Jesus doesn't mean let's sit back in our easy chairs and wait for the Lord to come and take us. But rather, getting ready for Jesus means preparing our hearts and the hearts of those that are around us. That's the old road. Getting ready for the coming kingdom of the Lord. The pioneer path is the way of promise. That's the next point. He, when God asks us to do something and He asks us to do it and walk in obedience to it, He'll always give a blessing. Those that are getting baptized, God's going to bless them. Because the Bible says if you act in obedience, if you do what I tell you to do, He says a blessing if you obey. And here in this text, here this wonderful promise that God gives to the prophet Jeremiah, to the people of Judah, He says this, you find that old way, you seek it out, you look for it. Sometimes the old way, as I said, sometimes the old ruts, the trees have grown up, religion has grown up, things have grown up, and you got to discern it. You got to seek for it. You got to find it. You got to make sure that it lines up with the Word of Almighty God. He says, if you seek it and you find it, you need to walk in it. And then this promise, and then thou shalt find rest for your souls. Some people think that the modern way is an easy way. Well, it is. In some respects, the Bible says the broad road and the easy road leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. He said that the way of the Lord is a narrow road, a road that isn't always so easy and so obvious. And few there be that find that road, but it's the good road that leads to rest for your souls. You know, the wide road, the modern road, the way of the new road is a way that gives temporary ease of conscience. Because if everybody tells you it's okay and you begin to think that it's okay, even though God says it's not okay, you begin to ease your conscience. Actually, what the Bible says is that your conscience is getting seared with a hot iron and you can't feel anymore because you've given in to the things of this world. Only pressing into the path of Jesus can really give rest for your soul. Does that sound New Testament to you? I know I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 6, but doesn't that sound awful New Testament? Does that give a hint of Jesus in there, friends? Anybody? Are you awake? You shall find rest for your souls. Did somebody else say that other than Jeremiah? Oh, excuse me, it wasn't Jeremiah that said it, because what did it say? It said, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel." And the same God of Israel, when he walked the shores of Galilee, did he not tell you? He said, "Come unto me." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, heavy burdened. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and toiling with anxiety and fears. Come unto me, all of you that are weary in the things of this world, that are tired of that new way, that new path. Come unto me, friends," he says. And what did Jesus say as a promise in that? He said, "And you will find rest for your souls." Only walking in the Word of God can wash away the tension, the fear, the confusion that plagues our modern world. Only walking with Jesus. He is walking the old road, friends. Jesus is walking the ancient pathway. Jesus is walking the pathway of our forefathers. Jesus walks that pathway, and he invites you to come along with him. It's not a path. You know, we get confused. We look at our own history. We look at legalism. We look at religion. We say, "Well, that's the old pathway. I don't want to walk on it." No, no one would want to walk on that. We're talking about go beyond the religion of man. Go beyond the denominations that man has created. Go beyond all those things. Go back to the Bible. Go back to the New Testament. Go back to the way of the apostles. Go back to the book of Acts. There is a road set out before us. Jesus is on it. Hey, he's on the way. Even Brother Paul, who was Saul at the time, found out that when he was on the way to persecute the church, he ran into Jesus. And Jesus redirected him to a better road. Only resting in the message of the sovereign God can give peace when this world seems to be falling apart. The old path is about trusting God for every season of life. I know you've strayed. I've strayed. We stray from the pathway from time to time. But thanks be to God, there's mercy in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Somebody in the back row say amen. There's mercy in the Lord. There is mercy in the Lord. Sometimes we wander, but thanks be to God, he brings us back no matter how far off the old path we get. As a nation, yes, we need to get back to the old path. As a church, yes, we need to keep finding that good way and walk in it. Just believing something doesn't make it up, doesn't receive the promise. We have to actually walk in it. You know, faith is a good thing. Did anybody disagree with that? Faith is a good thing. But unless you walk it, unless you take it on the road with you, it's just a concept. Before you can walk, you must look for it. Before you look for it, you must seek it. Don't be like the princes, priests, and people of Jerusalem who rejected the old message, rejected the old passage. We're not going to walk in it. We're going to walk in our own ways. Friends, in closing, I fear for our nation, but I do not fear for the kingdom of God. John the Baptist's message, repent for the kingdom is at hand, is still a good message today. It's still the message today. Seek the old path. It's the responsibility of the church, the responsibility of the elders to point to people the right way, the right path. And if we have allowed, friends, you can't just leave it. I tell you what, I went about 5 years ago. I cleaned out a pathway or a roadway in the bush. I came back to it last fall, and I could hardly find the thing. It just keeps growing up. You got to keep clearing it. Religion gets in the way. Our flesh gets in the way. What we think is good and right and whatever else, it grows up and we have to keep her clean. Keep the way clear. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, trusted old pathway. It's not about a denomination. It's not about a dress code. It's not about religious things. It's about walking with the Lord. And obeying His word, to trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy, to be blessed in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Father, as I preach this word today, there are different ones in this assembly that will receive this word in different ways, because the Spirit of God speaks to us corporately at times, but the Spirit of God individually has a message. So, friend, I ask, would you ask? I ask you to ask Him, what does the message mean to you? Lord Jesus, show us the way. We ask for it. We seek it. Lord, help us to be suspicious of anything that does not line up with the Word of God. And let us embrace the truth you have for us today. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 116, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Friends, if you need prayer this morning, the Spirit of God has touched you in a way that you would like to respond, come to the altar today and pray. People will pray for you, or I will be glad to pray for you. Let's stand, shall we? I want you to take the name of Jesus with you as you go from this place today. Take the name of Jesus. Now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you as you walk the journey. May you sense the hand of God walking alongside of you. Amen.